There is one hadith which has been narrated by a companion radiyallahu anhu, and this hadith, the meaning of this hadith is that one day, it was the day of Jum'ah, the day of Friday, and that's a very blessed day, and this is called the Sayyidul Ayyam, the head of all of the days, the master on top of the superior days, just like Ramadan is the superior month. In the same way, Jum'ah, the day of Friday, is the superior day in the week. It has barakat and blessings on every footstep. On the day of Jum'ah, there are barakat, there are blessings. And the day of Jum'ah, it starts from the night of Thursday. The night comes first, the night of Friday, then the day. Every week Allah Ta'ala bestows us and blesses us with this day, with Allah Ta'ala's karam, His generosity. Allah Ta'ala always, alhamdulillah, allows us to initiate and start that day with His dhikr, with His remembrance. So in the same way, Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan, this is a great month, supreme month. And the day of Jum'ah, the Holy Prophet ﷺ, so this was the day of Jum'ah, the Holy Prophet ﷺ was present in Masjid al-Nabwi, and all of the companions radiyallahu anhum were present. Obviously, they had come to perform the Jum'ah Salah. And look at the importance of this hadith, how much it is, that the Prophet ﷺ, that he was coming to give the sermon of Friday, and he was ascending his pulpit, the member, and they took the first step on the member, and he said loudly, Ameen. And then when he took the second step onto the member, he said, Ameen. And on the third blessed step that the Prophet ﷺ took, he said, Ameen. He started the khutbah, the sermon, salah took place, the prayer took place, the noble companions, radiyallahu anhum, when they saw something, that Nabi ﷺ, he didn't say anything, but he just said, Ameen. And so they were thinking, they were curious, what was being said, what had occurred. So they pulled themselves together and they requested, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we've seen something away from the norm, that before this, you haven't done this action before, that you are ascending the pulpit, the minbar, and three times you said, Ameen. Three times. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, you have said correctly. At that time when I was ascending the minbar, then Jibreel alayhi salam came in front of me. And at that time, he performed a dua. He recited a dua, a prayer. Obviously, Allah had sent him to perform that dua, that prayer. Alayhi salam is the one who sent Jibreel alayhi salam, and who Jibreel Amin was doing the dua. He was the head of the angels, sardar of the angels. And so Allah had sent him, Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel, head of the angels, did the dua. And Ameen was said by the master of the universe, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we can imagine from this dua, that how great a dua this must be, how weighty and how brilliant this dua is, and it's accepted beyond accepted, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying Ameen, he's saying Amen to this dua after it's being recited. So in this dua, the first and second and third, the tartib, the order of this dua, what was it? And the Prophet ﷺ, when Jibreel ﷺ did the dua, and Nabi ﷺ said Ameen, from one of those three statements, Jibreel ﷺ, in one of the three parts of the dua, said that is sad to see such a person, a man or a woman, that person has in his life, during his lifetime, his parents are present, alive, they are elderly, and he cannot attain forgiveness at that time, during that phase of life. Destroyed is that person. Wretched is that person. Lost is that person. That Allah Ta'ala has given him the opportunity, a great opportunity, such an easy opportunity that he could grab, that whilst he's living, that his own flesh and blood, the human beings, his parents, his mother and father were present, alive, and he did not serve his parents. He didn't earn their du'as. So great an opportunity, a door of forgiveness Allah Ta'ala opened up for that individual. And an easy method to attain the du'as. So easy. Even if he gave a glass of water to his father, that no one can pray for the children like the parents do, because this is a selfish world that we're living in, very selfish indeed. Yes, and there are two relations that are very strong that I tell you now that I consider. Either the true blood relative or somebody who's the relationship between two who are for the sake of Allah, the relationship, for the sake of Allah. And these two relationships, the du'as emanate from these relationships. The rest of it is just dunya and world. These are two gates, two doors that are strong. The relationship is very strong, and a person can easily earn the du'as for forgiveness. But in both of these relationships, we are shaitan. We don't fulfill the commitments of these relationships. And if Allah gives us these types of relationships in life, and if they're for the sake of Allah, and subhanAllah, the mother and father, obviously their blood and their flesh, and if they give dua for the children, great. And the other relationship for the sake of Allah, strong bond between two people for the sake of Allah. If we waste this, Allah Ta'ala doesn't say it's sad, rather that person's destroyed, wretched. There's no way that person can go into Jannah. He's destroyed his life in this world and thereafter. And in this world, all he's seeing is temporary happiness. No goodness is he getting from this world, that person. No goodness is he getting from this world. And such an easy formula that Allah Ta'ala has given here, Allahu Akbar, that if a person sees his father's face with love, he gets a complete Hajj Thawab. Complete Hajj Thawab. And the person, if he's living in Bolton, yes, and his father's living somewhere far away, seven oceans away, then how will he remember his father? And that he will say, oh, how can I go to see my dad? How will I earn money? How can I make bread? How can I do this work in the world? Oh, if I go there, there's no food to eat, or it's too hot, or it's too cold there, it's difficult there. Allah Ta'ala will say that I gave you a great, great opportunity. You left the door of Jannah. Another hadith has come to my mind, subhanAllah. That the doors of Jannah, one of the best doors of paradise, is to serve the Father, subhanAllah. And where are we? Where are we? We only go to the Father when his poor soul's final breaths are there. Oh, I'm dying, I'm dying. Oh, I'm going to see my Father. I've just purchased the flight ticket and I'm going there to help him, and I'll press his legs and arms to give him ease. How sad. At that time we go. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that person is destroyed, wretched. Maybe he's walking around the world earning money, his money getting into the pockets, into the banks and here and left and right. But Allah's given us a great door to paradise. Fantastic opportunity. Allah's favor on us, a favor. And have we repaid that favor? This is how Allah Ta'ala is telling us, that may Allah not include us amongst those people that we prefer the world instead of these two relationships. The relationship that Allah Ta'ala has given, both, where du'as emanate for a person, that the relationship for the sake of Allah, a strong relationship for the sake of Allah, or the blood relationships that Allah Ta'ala has given to us naturally, the mother and father, in the form of the mother and the father. Then, the second du'a, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ascended the pulpit. So easily we can earn good things, but it's shocking to see that we don't. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said Ameen again after the dua of Jibreel Alayhi Salaam. No hesitation. 0% hesitation. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there are people in my ummah, they may be destroyed, wretched, lost, totally lost. And with happiness, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, Ameen, that yes, this man deserves this curse. Cursed is that person who disobeys his mother and father, or doesn't serve them. Cursed is that person who will be destroyed. Maybe there will be a life where he lives in the world and spend time, but there will be people who made their parents upset and the curse is upon them. Allah, or he made his sheikh, his teacher upset. Because these are the fountains of du'as for us. The parents or the teacher. The teacher. Then Jibreel Islam did the second statement of the du'a. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ameen. And such easy, beautiful methods Allah has given to us, that these are doors of paradise. So easy for you to implement these actions that you cannot imagine. So what was the second dua that Jibreel alayhi salam stated? He said that cursed be those people that he hears or she hears the name of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he doesn't send durood on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Destroyed be that person. Finished be that person. Cursed be that person. Lost be that person. Allahu Akbar. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned, recited the name of the Holy Prophet, and he sits there dumb when he hears it, and from his mouth no recitation of salam or salat on the Prophet is mentioned, and he wants to take a shortcut. He has no desire, no passion. Whose name is being mentioned? Which great personality's name is mentioned? Allah has given us the tawfiq to hear that great name. And we, that person, cursed be the person that he bypasses sending salat wa salam on the Prophet when he hears the name, their great name. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, such a person, he doesn't deserve any goodness. He doesn't deserve. Destroyed is that person. Cursed is that person. Lost, he's done for. He's already done for. He's guaranteed. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that how can we imagine a person, such an easy door for Allah's pleasure and reward, that once if you recite durood, then 10 rahmas descend. Allah sends 10 rahmas immediately. One durood, just like now, for example, we recite the Rushi in the beginning 3 times. Is this a minor action? Alhamdulillah. That if we don't start with the Rushi, then we'll have no mercies in this gathering. No blessings. Such an easy, great favor of Allah's mercy. He's given us this opportunity. And from our mouths we don't utter. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't come out of our mouths. Imagine when we hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name. So a hadith comes to mind. Remember about Durushi, maybe I've not told you about this hadith before. As Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha is, I think, perhaps the narrator, that when a person recites Durood, alhamdulillah, with Allah's fadl and grace, when we recite Durood, just like we do, when a person recites Durood Sharif, then for that Durood, Allah has assigned a specific angel. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Allah has assigned a specific angel. And this all happens in the universe, brothers. We can't see it, can we? The angel is assigned specifically for this task. So if you recite durood 10,000 times, 10,000 times he will raise your durood. That's his duty, repetitively. So if a person recites durood sharif on the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when durood salat wa salam is sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited, then the angel raises that durood, he lifts it, he rejoices, and he flies fast, speedily. He's got permission. He's got permission that directly he goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. So what a great barakah of this durood sharif. Tell me, he shoots straight up to the heavens, to the court of Allah. To Allah's court, to Allah's presence, that angel, he flies. Allah says, what? What's happening? You've come so quick. Allah knows, this is that angel, he's brought the durood of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to me. He's got permission to grab the durood and fly up to Allah. He says, okay, fine, I know what you've done, what you've brought, mashallah. Quickly, go. That person recited the durood, the salatu wasalam, Allah knows where we're going to die. And when we're going to die, where we're going to be buried, which coffin we're going to be laid to rest in, etc. Allah knows, is he going to have a post-mortem or not? What's going to come? Allah says, go quickly, don't delay. If he's died or if he's alive, if he's died, go to his grave. If he's alive, go to him. Subhanallah. Go there. And when you release that durood, the salatu wasalam you recited, then this durood will then in turn recite istighfar for that person and ask Allah for his forgiveness and become coolness for his grave. Subhanallah, for the environment that he's in. Allahu Akbar. What a great, fantastic action. Durood Sharif. To recite Durood Sharif. Yes. Such great chances Allah has given to us. Us foolish people. But we imagine. That we don't have time in the dunya, in the world, to sit down to do tasbih of Durood Sharif. Thousands of difficulties, problems and worries worrying left and right and up and down. But look at the doors Allah has given us within our own homes. The doors to enter into Allah's mercy. But we don't try. We don't go towards them. Subhanallah. So to say Subhanallah, what a great learning, what a great favor of Allah, isn't it? Now the third dua that Jibreel alayhi salam, so both, we've heard the first the two duas, that both extremes we understand, either the doors of Allah's forgiveness and rahmah and mercies come, or either that person is cursed and destroyed and finished and lost out totally. Two extremes. So tomorrow when we go to Allah, we can't say, Allah, you didn't give us a chance. What could we do? There was no way for us to get forgiveness. I couldn't see a way out, Allah. I was stuck. There was no guidance. The third dua now of Jibreel alayhi salam, he did dua again, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again said, Ameen. Allah accept without any hesitation. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen. Destroyed with that person, lost out, cursed. Who? That man and woman who attains Ramadan, who is in Ramadan. Allah allows a person to get to Ramadan. To get to Ramadan is not easy. 3 months before Rasulullah did what? Before in Rajab and Shaban and through to Ramadan. The Allah, please take us through to Ramadan. So it's not a minor feat. To get through, achievement to get through to Ramadan. Every footstep, there's a danger. Will I get to Salah? Will I be able to get to Masjid? Will I be able to get to Taraweeh? Allah, will I be able to do Dhikr or not in this great month? So much fear and risk. the whole system is in Allah's control. No one is in control. Allah's control. Anything can happen. That could be a restriction, a burden for a person not to be able to get to Ramadan or worship. Because we can understand that in this month of Ramadan, this great month, Allah Ta'ala has given us so many opportunities and methods and techniques to be saved from the fire of Jahannam. Jahannam is such a wretched place, we can understand. Allah has given us Ramadan, great, great moments, opportunities. Allah has prepared that how many people are going into Jahannam? Tell me, if we think about it, all of this Ramadan, praying Taraweeh, keeping the fast and keeping the stomach empty and not to become healthy, not for dieting. Ramadan wasn't sent for these things. Do you know what Ramadan was sent for? Allah knows that if these people go to Jahannam, what will be their state of affairs? For this sake, because we are the ummati of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah loves us so much, Allah say, otherwise go into Jahannam, Allah will fill up Jahannam. Al-Man Yazid, Jahannam will say, bring more, Allah send more, I can take more. Allah Ta'ala said, there's no other reason why I'm trying to save you, but because we have said, Muhammad Rasulullah, we are the ummatis. Allah says, you are so beloved to me, I've given you the whole month, not for Taraweeh prayer, not for Salah, not for keeping the fast, not for any other reason, it's for this reason. Allah says, get more reward, I want you to get more reward. Greater thawab, greater status, greater levels through the month of Ramadan. Why? So such a great gate Allah has opened up for us. Allah Ta'ala has opened up a gate of heaven for us. A massive gate of heaven. You say, no, I'm not able to. Oh, can I give fidya? Can I give compensation if I don't fast? We ask about fidya when Ramadan has come. Why don't you make a niyyah? Allah will keep the fast. Come what may. Whatever difficulty I'm in, I'll pull myself together. I'll have courage. No. First Ramadan comes, we try to get out of the way. I have to take tablets. I get dizzy in the day. Do you think Allah Ta'ala gave you fast so that you can become fresh and you're energetic? No. Fasting's there. It's a difficulty. We have to persevere through difficulty. And that's the name of crushing the desires. And the crushing of the desires means meeting Allah. If the ibadah you're doing, if you're worshipping, doing a worship action, tell me, if a person's implementing a worship action and he starts to feel enjoyment, no difficulty, then where's the ibadah? There's no ibadah. For example, if it comes to bed and breakfast for you, what do we call it? What are we talking about here? What do we say? Itikaf. If itikaf is a bed and breakfast and a lodging and ease, then where's the difficulty? Where's the reward going to come from? Oh, let's take our mattress and pillows and blankets and eating and drinking. Brothers, Allah Ta'ala has given us Ramadan, all the actions to crush the desires. Eat simple food. You can't even have a bath. We could have a bath if you want in an itikaf. Why should we bath? Allah says that smell the sweat on your body. This is the difficulty. Allah has given us difficulty. The scratch your body, the itching and the scratching. Why is Allah giving us Hajj as a worship? Is it a holiday? We're going on holiday. Oh, it's difficulty in Hajj. Allah says, yes, there will be difficulty. That's why I've given it to you. That's the name of Hajj. That's the meaning of Hajj. Difficulty. Oh, I keep the fast, I get a headache. That's fine. Is the pain of the headache good, or do you want the pain of hellfire? The more you feel hungry, consider the more it's accepted. That's my philosophy. The more enjoyment you get, three parantas, they're not digesting, and you're burping, and you're feeling hungry more, you want more food stashed into the stomach, the more you feel comfort and enjoyment, the ibadah, if it's enjoyment for you, and there's no pain for you, no difficulty, then consider that ibadah has become a habit for you. It's not ibadah. It's not ibadah. Tahajjud, why is there thawab for tahajjud? Tell me, why is there reward for tahajjud? Why is there thawab, immense reward? For this reason, that a person, what does he have to do? He has difficulty at that time. He has to crush the desires. His ego saying, don't get up. He's feeling sleepy. He doesn't want to get up from his bed. It's difficult. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what reward is he given for this? There's a great amount of reward for a person who gets up out of his bed and prepares and performs the hajjud. A great amount of reward. Yes, that's the philosophy. So, such a great month of barakah. We leave Ramadan. We don't implement the deeds. We don't know what is Ramadan, what are the rules. The month of Ramadan means difficulty. So are you running around looking for ease and peace? Where is the enjoyment in all ibadah? There's no enjoyment in dhikr, in the fast. If you're not looking for enjoyment, if you start feeling enjoyment through ibadah, then consider that person wants enjoyment and it's a holiday camp. So you've come here now to this gathering. Do you feel enjoyment and extreme satisfaction? You've left your home, your work, your business, your shops. Yes, why are you going to do dhikr? And when a person, where are you going? You're going, oh, you're going to do dhikr? You got fast. What about your fast? With difficulties, pushes himself to come, then after 2 days he runs away from the gathering, the majlis, because he feels pain, difficulty, burden. Subhanallah. So when a person, he walks with difficulties, Allah says, I change that difficulty into ease, coolness. Subhanallah. Then you get such enjoyment. That enjoyment's different at that time. That enjoyment is that time, is that it's like you've lost something, you're not at ease, you're looking for something, you don't get the ease and the satisfaction or the comfort. I don't know what to say. That is feeling anxious all the time, tossing and turning. He said, oh come on, let me go now. Okay, I'll go to the Garden of Dhikr. Then eventually he gets to the majlis, and some people come really late at the end. You push them, you encourage them, eventually they come and they sit down in the Dhikr gathering. They don't know that they haven't come from the beginning of the gathering, what a big loss they've incurred. Allahu Akbar. So all of the rahmas, the mercies, they've lost out. All the in the rewards Allah was to give to them, they've lost out because they didn't come in the beginning of gathering. I swear by Allah, it's so sad that people who are at home, they have young children, the children have grown up, the father's going to dhikr, and the children, they run around into the corners, they make excuses. I see the children of the parents who are in dhikr, and when they sit in dhikr, they shoot out of the back. I feel so sad that her father, he's here, because he doesn't control, he hasn't brought the children up in that way to, they run. When they're in the majlis, the children, and they run out of the back, they scarp and they're outside chatting, having a chit chat. I've seen this with my eyes. Allahu Akbar. And it's sad to see this, that this is occurring. Brothers, that we need to make our children our inheritors, so that when we go in the grave, our assets, we should make them the inheritors of goodness. So that when we're in the grave, that they're sending it to us, oh, my son is this, and he's reached to Qatar, and he's reached to this country, he's got this profession and that profession. Do any of your children or your sons do dhikr? What will he give to you in your grave? If you do dhikr here, then obviously the father will benefit, won't he? Will he not benefit? Imagine that. What will your son give to you in the hereafter due to dhikr? What degree will he send to you when you die? He won't even come to ask you at your grave. Just for you are making your children machines to make money. Your daughter, she's working, son is working, here and there, bank balances are full to the brim. We don't think that we should make our children our assets, so that they send to us inheritance, they send to us currency to the grave. We work hard from the world, we should work hard that they are successful in the world, and they should remember Allah, do the dhikr of Allah, drag them here, bring them here, seed them here. The amal that you make them do, Allah Ta'ala will give you the thawab, the reward of that, until Qiyamah, until the day of judgment. Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. That sometimes, Subhanallah, Wali of Allah is born in the world, that if the parents didn't do their tarbiyah, then the Shaykh, the Wali Allah, he makes their children like his own children, and he looks after their generation. Tell me, what have your parents done for you? What has your father done for you? Apart from go to London and earn money and send us money back. Yeah, apart from looking towards their pockets, the parents, what else have they done for you? Yes, has ever for any of the fathers, any of your parents given you understanding? Go find a wali Allah, do musafa, get benefit from him. But the father, the true father, first and foremost, he takes his child by the finger and takes him to the company of the wali of Allah. Subhanallah. And first and foremost, what do the parents say? No, don't go to the wali Allah, don't go to the Shaykh's gathering, he'll spoil your dunya, your world. Alhamdulillah, I've seen 4 generations pass by in front of me. 4 generations grow up in front of me. I'm seeing the 4th generation now. Those who are sitting here, the children sitting here, the people are sitting here, even their own children, I kept their names, I chose their names. I'm speaking to you practically. I'm not talking to you from text and books. I'm from this country and I've come to give you a speech. And no, I'm telling you practical things for life. This is how we should speak to each other in Ramadan. Subhanallah. So today, if your children are being born and you're happy, oh my child, my son, daughter, if Allah Ta'ala has given you children, Allah's karam, He's given you His karam, His mercy, that He's introduced you to Wali Allah, that you are now human beings. So what are you to do in future? That your children, you have to bring them up yourself. Bring them up and take the responsibility for your children. Rear them up properly and correct them. Soon as they're born, make a schedule, a program, how they're going to grow up, that I'm going to assign them to a wali Allah, to the company of the wali Allah, the benefit. Start them from the ruhani, the spiritual journey. Initiate the journey like this. I swear by Allah, if a father assigns his child to the hand of the wali Allah, to the Shaykh, I swear by Allah, not one, then 7 generations are benefited by that child. 7 generations. Allahu Akbar. First and foremost, they take all of the Quran, and not the Quran that our child children take a vow, I've made him do hifz, my son is an alim, my son is a hafiz. Not that drama, Quran, arguing, put my father ahead on the prayer mat. He hasn't got sense, he hasn't got amal, he hasn't got the awareness, he doesn't know that he's got, there are so many deficiencies in my children, in my child, and he's a sinful person. But we want to push him forward so he can lead the salah, so the children, people see that my child is leading salah in the khanqa. People say this, oh, Hazrat Sahib, put my son forward to do in the masallah, to be the imam, put my son forward. And we don't know that our son, who is the imam, we should have taqwa, and we're cursing others. Do you know if your child is capable? If you want him to be imam, then make him have the status of imam. Rear him up in that way, bring him up in that way, make him the status. That no, we just want to show the people in the world image and showing off. I've seen such people when they introduce someone, oh no, my son is hafiz, oh he's an alim, oh he's like this, oh he's a scholar. And he knows, the father, what are my children? He knows, what are my children? In reality, what are they? Allahu Akbar. So brothers, these are the ni'mas of Allah that we are wasting. We are wasting these ni'mas, these favors of Allah. So Ramadan, Allah says, I've given you Ramadan. Allah says that this is the purpose. You can attain the rewards. You can get the benefits. These benefits, this is my ni'mah, Allah Ta'ala says. My extreme ni'mah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ascended the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put his feet, his blessed feet, and he said, Ameen, three times. And this is what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied to the Sahaba. The Allah Ta'ala said, destroy be that person, wretched, lost out, cursed. He's gone into the lower ditch of Jannum. The Allah says, I gave him the whole month of Ramadan. And such a month, about which every second of Ramadan, Allah says, in every second of Ramadan was my forgiveness. In your eating, in your wearing your clothes, in your sitting, there was forgiveness. In your keeping the fast, there was forgiveness. Yani, there was nothing that could not give you my forgiveness, Allah says. Allah says, my forgiveness was running after you. My forgiveness, the subhanAllah, my forgiveness and my mercies were raining down upon you. Allah says, but not even a splash came onto you. Not even a splash, tell me. Is this not us losing out? So Allah says, maghfira, my forgiveness. Wretched are, cursed are those people, the house, the men, the women, the children. They have been hungry in Ramadan, but I didn't give you Ramadan for poverty, hunger, dieting. Oh, he's keeping a fast, she's keeping a fast. That this is not keeping the fast. This is not the essence of Ramadan. Allah says, the purpose, the person who has attained Ramadan, who's acquired it, and Allah says, I've given to you Ramadan, and if you could not earn my forgiveness, Allah says, then you are cursed. If you could not save yourself from Jahannam, if you could not do Tawbah in Ramadan, repent to Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah has announced openly, Allah says, oh my Nabi, say Ameen to the dua of Jibreel that I told and instructed him to recite. Allah says, that person is forever in Jahannam. In Ramadan, his life didn't improve, he didn't leave the sins, he didn't start to raise salah, he didn't acquire good habits, his deficiencies he didn't get rid of, he didn't look towards his children, nothing. Just from morning till night, same old game, same old drama, same old cycle. No gain, no benefit, no improvement. No tarbiyah of the children, no reforming, improving the children. How should we reform the children? The child is in the north and the father is in the south. Son is earning and the father is spending. Cha-cha, oh, my brother's looking after my children or my sister. Then what will happen to these children? How will they be brought up? How will they be given good manners and behaving conduct? And the child is in the north and you are the parent sitting in the south and you're doing tarbiyah of your children from far. The Allahu Akbar, the cow or the buffalo, when they give birth to their children, subhanAllah, then with love the cow gives the milk to its child. No one can put the hands on the udder of the cow. Some of you have lived in the desert or in the village, that when the cow gives birth to the child, looks after the children, and we don't know when our children were born. They've gone England and we're living somewhere else and they're earning for us and they're making money. We don't know what they're doing. What's their tarbiyah and how we bring them up? Oh, we just think the child prays Salah in the masjid. This is pious child. The Quran says this is not piety. That don't think you just stood in front of the Kaaba and you're doing good deeds. This is not the definition of good deeds. It's a wide, expansive definition. First action, which is fard, compulsory on the parents, is what? On the male is to do tarbiyah of his wife and children. If he's not going to do it, is a donkey going to do tarbiyah of the children? Yes, and we keep looking at our own ease and our own comfort and our own luxuries. Until, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't understand, then put your hands up. Yes? You still asleep? If you understand, put your hands up. So will you carry out these actions, these sins and these wrongdoings? No, we shouldn't. So brothers, And now, the next point that we need to understand, Ramadan, a great, great gift and reward and favor from Allah. And we wander around on small points, we leave the fasting, we say it's hard for us, it's difficult. So in this Ramadan, if somebody doesn't earn maghfirah, forgiveness of Allah, then there are two things. Which Ramadan? This Ramadan, what we say in the last night. Which night? Yes, this the last night of this Ramadan. 1 year further after today, we may not get this night again, this month again. This is the final night of the night of power. This is the final chance, my brothers. The final chance. Let's go to our homes. Disobedient sons, disobedient daughters. Let's look at everyone. Let's look at ourselves and ask ourselves questions. What is our hal, our promises we made to Allah? And what, there'll be no release tomorrow. That maghfirah we won't get. Allah Ta'ala says, I've sent you to the world. What are your actions? What is your salah like? Your fasting like? Your manners like? And Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala says that they don't even say anything to their children. They're not unhappy with their children. If they're doing wrong, the parents are happy. If the father scolds, then the mother protects them. If the mother scolds the children, the father protects them. Father says, what are you saying here? They're always, the mother says, you're running after my children, telling them to do this and that. And mother says, how dare you? She says to her husband, that you keep on pestering my children. You do what you want to do, but don't pester the children. Do what you want to do. Worship and deen, etc. And if the mother is not right, she says this. And then, if the mother is correct, then there are fathers who spoil the children. Mother says, children, I want you to do good. The father says, oh, mind your own business. Yes, little young children say, Abu, father, we want to go as well. Tarawih, salah. Father slaps them. Oh, don't you know anything else? What else to do? You just want to go tarawih. Sleep. Go to sleep. I want to go to sleep because I've got to go work in the morning. Subhanallah, these are the stories of our lives and families. I hear these so many times. Father slaps the children. The child has a desire. Everyone's going tarawih. I want to go tarawih. But who listens to him? Father slaps him. Good. Be quiet. Be quiet. Go to sleep, or you let me. You want to recite and hear tarawih. Where do you hear about tarawih from? Who told you about tarawih? So that human being who doesn't look towards his home, the men and women, the mothers and the fathers, if they don't look towards their children, is the final message of Ramadan via the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the form of a dua. That Jahannam will be end today, hellfire, or you'll get a hard life, a wretched life, a cursed life, a misdirected life. Remember this, there won't be dunya, it won't be money, it won't be mal, it won't be status, it won't be, I swear by Allah, there's no greater loss and wretchedness than this. There's no greater curse than this. The person who today doesn't correct himself and his children. If you're not angry with your children, at least you should be ashamed. I've heard today that due to you, I'm also wretched and cursed today, says the father to the children. 10 minutes if you don't go home and lecture your children today. If you don't explain to them, you understand what I'm saying? Allah Ta'ala will say that you are not understanding the message that your children are growing up. If you don't go home and tell them off, are you not ashamed? You're not practicing? Can you not sit down 30 minutes in dhikr? If you don't put love in their hearts and revive the love in their hearts and arouse the love in their hearts and remind them, explain to them and teach them. If we don't do that today, then we are lost out. That we love them, we love money. If they're not here, then we phone them up. Some child is sat in Dubai or Qatar or another country. Pick up the phone if they're not here today with you. And phone them, say, I'm happy with you. Tonight, you should not upset your father. Promise to me you're going to start praying Salah today. This is the conversation we should have our children on the phone. Promise to me, if I'm unhappy with you, you'll not be forgiven today because I'm unhappy with you. And I'm unhappy from my heart due to the deen, I'm unhappy with you. Say this to the children. Say this to your children. Yes, I'm not happy with you, father says to the child. Don't expect anything from me. No happiness that I will love you or we will treat you that with love. Will you do this, brothers? Otherwise, you're lost out today. I tell you the truth. That you are involved, included in their sins. If you don't turn them off, remind them about the deen, then you're included and I'm included. If today we don't sit with our children, encourage them, speak to them about good things, say, listen, clearly, tonight is the name of decision. Allah's decisive night. After this, Ramadan is finished. Laylatul Qadr night is there today. The Prophet ﷺ did dua that today that person who doesn't attain forgiveness, that man, woman, the children, and it's not about just leaving, rather gone. Gone. I'm gone, you're gone, my son, we've lost out. Go earn today what you can earn and see if next year you get Ramadan or not. We'll see how you don't get it. Allah Ta'ala will bless that either the son will be in the hospital, son, you'll be in hospital, my leg will be broken, maybe your leg will be broken, maybe we won't get Ramadan again next year. Allah Ta'ala's mercy brings us to Ramadan, not health. Not well-being, not health. You understand what I'm saying? You understanding the discussion? Will we do this action? Yes, inshallah. Look, this is what we need to do. We have an opportunity today. Reform your children. Remind your children. Explain to your children. And after today, your children should come to dhikr. Then we'll realize you've done work of the deen. Sit them next to you. Yes, it's not here that, for example, I've not made a contract with you that I'll correct you and all the four generations. Hazrat Sahib gave me a duty just to you, the first generation. Even then though, alhamdulillah, I continued and did a favor for the four generations to come. Even then I did extra work, overtime. Mashallah, my duty was to your face and to your behavior. And after that, I'm not responsible for your children and their children. Otherwise, if you're wasting time and they're wasting time, then I'm not answerable. I've come for you, your generation, for your faces, and the rest you need to do it in turn. But with the fadl of Allah, four generations I've looked after, your four generations. But even now you don't understand the message, even now. You know, sat upset with me, Are you sat upset? Are you upset? No. Are these pinching you, these words? They shouldn't. If anyone's feeling pinched with my words, then consider he's been reformed and improved. Anyone's got worry with what I'm saying, concerned, then he's improved as a person. He's reformed and improved as a person. Subhanallah. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. So this is the night tonight, the night of forgiveness, is the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. And today we'll be rejoicing Khatamul Quran, and now we'll waste time with lengthy events and we'll go and get stuck somewhere that and we can't even get up, and then when we get up everybody will see. So how should we perform Laylatul Qadr? Oh, people say, where are you going? When we go to do dhikr to the gathering, we say, they've done dhikr, and all they do is go dhikr. Big personalities come to the masjid, and what do they do after the Rabi? They go and sit in the corner. What can we do? This is our life. Otherwise I'll make a khanka in Bolton. If no one's got value for dhikr, that's what I can see can happen. Will you give the donations for that? Put your hands up. Oh mashallah, I never ask, subhanAllah, never ask for this purpose. My khankas never were run with chanda or with donations. Alhamdulillah, there are four khankas with Allah's fadl and grace. There are four khankas. And can anyone guarantee or say that I asked for donations for either of those khankas? Everyone stood here. And the khankas that exist and established, and every one of them, dhikr is taking place. You're not here on your own doing dhikr. Everywhere dhikr is taking place, everyone's rejoicing with happiness and listening to me in the thousands. Subhanallah. And this is your destiny that's opened up, that I've been here, so, you know, sort of sealed in Bolton, restricted, otherwise would I be here next to you? Allahu Akbar. So brothers, this is the case, that where can a person go? Such a valuable and precious night. We need to earn our forgiveness in this night. I've told you the tariqah, the method. This night, if we wasted the night of power, then consider that we have lost out totally. There's nothing else that we can benefit from. Tomorrow we say, Eids come. There's nothing else left. There's no other time left. Allahu Akbar. So tonight we need to spend it with caution and properly. The night has started. Allah Ta'ala has seated us in His dhikr. Allah has given us the message. There's one chance. And so simple is it today to earn forgiveness, to make Allah happy. And all the sins and nonsense that we've implemented in our lives, we've broken people's rights, we've broken the rights of the children, we've broken the rights of our wives, we've broken the rights of our relatives and our dhulam oppressed. Put your hands together and ask them for forgiveness. Sorry, I have oppressed you, I've done so much oppression towards you. Don't look who's big and small and high and low. Whoever's awoken and understood today and realized I've done dhulam, I've done bad actions, that person should go to the third party who is oppressed and ask for forgiveness. Please forgive me. Then inshallah, that person will be forgiven. That person will attain 100%, not just forgiveness, rather the pillars of forgiveness will be erected. Allah's rahmah will come for that person. Allah's mercy. Allah says, you ask me once, I give you thousands of times. Today, if you recite durood, salat wa salam, Allah's made us recite salat wa salam. 1,000 years, you'll get the reward for 1,000 years. Subhanallah. Today, if you recite the kalama once this dhikr, do you understand? You've come. Allah, the walis of Allah, we should do dua for them. If you sit down today and recite the kalamas, which have a value, each and every one of the kalamats have a value, the doors of paradise. If you sit today and recite the kalamats, durood sharif, salat wa salam, the kalamat that we recite, then until 1,000 months, 1,000 years, the reward is there. The reward is present. How a person wastes these opportunities, tell me. 1,000 years, until 1,000 years, you can keep on reciting. That reward of 1,000 years of recitation, rather over and above, extra, more than that reward. So can a person waste this night, tell me? Can a person imagine of wasting this night? Can we imagine? After this, when will a night like this come to us? Brothers, people are in their graves, they've died, they've passed away, they have gone. They've gone. So don't waste this night. Maghfirah. The greatest ibadah tonight is to attain maghfirah, forgiveness, salvation. And you'll get more than 1,000 years of thawab. If you created a child or a human boy, a being, or your children, and then you're happy, Allah, of ask Allah for forgiveness. There's so much thawab in this night tonight. So my brothers, what we need to do, don't waste this night. Don't waste this opportunity. The curse, the dua, Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said Ameen. The dua has been performed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said Ameen. There's no chance for intercession after that, because he will intercede. And here Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is raised, put his hands up. Sorry, after Ramadan we'll see, because I've done the dua and I've said Ameen. So today is the opportunity for this, for us to attain. So we should ask Allah for our own forgiveness, and ask Allah for other people's forgiveness. If you're stuck, then get yourself out of that situation. Get yourself out of bad actions or bad scenarios. And beyond that, ask, do true tawbah to Allah and ask Allah for forgiveness. May Allah Ta'ala give us all this night, and may Allah Ta'ala accept this night from us. This is the last night. After this, we have one of these moments, or recite these kalamats, or durood, or salat, or something. We want people to say like this for another year, and this opportunity will be gone. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Ey mere maula, shab-e qadr, aakhri shab-e qadr aane wali hai mere maula. Apne fazl se hamare gunahon ko maaf farma de. Ya Allah, humse jo samjhan mein kotaiyan hai, maaf farma de. Ey mere maula, hum sab ki maghfirat farma de. Ey mere maula, hum sab ko bakhshish farma de. Ey mere maula, hamare ramzan ko qubool farma de. Ya Allah, hamari galtiyon ko maaf farma de. Hamare khataon ko maaf farma de. Ey mere maula, to apne fazl se jo bhi duaen humne mangi pure ramzan mein sari qubool farma. Ya Allah, isme jo bhi duaen nabi pak ne mangi ramzan mein, sahaba karam ne mangi, auliya Allah ne mangi, tabeen ne mangi, sahabi ne mangi. Ya Allah, jin jin bade insaanon ne duaen mangi mere maula, un duaon mein hame bhi shamil farma de. Ya Allah, hamare maa baap ki bakhshish farma de, hamare mashayikh kiram ke darajat ko buland farma de. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khair khalqihi Muhammadin wa alihi sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Amin.